Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I heard a voice of God asking, whom shall I send? This morning, I'm thrilled, I'm excited, I'm happy to tell us that God has found someone he can send to us. John chapter 1 verse 4 says that, and the word gave life to everything. And that is the confidence we have when we come to church, that as the word of God comes, it will give life to everything in our lives. I'm glad you are clapping. It's a sign of honor.
Oh, yes.
This morning, God has even blessed us some more. You know, he exceeds your expectations. And I'm happy to tell you that we have in our midst a seasoned preacher, teacher of the word. Last week we heard his voice. It was too powerful. And today we are honored to have him in our midst again. Join me to welcome upstage the ministry of Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please close your eyes and let's share a word of prayer. Can you lift your two hands? I believe that God wants to speak to someone. God wants to bless someone. God wants to guide someone. You want to lift your hands and pray and ask the Lord to guide you.
Yes,
ask the Lord to help you.
Jesus.
Ask the Lord to minister to you.
My God. Yes, Lord. Minister to me, Lord.
If you really meant to be in church,
Jesus,
then you really meant to hear a word. Lift your hands and pray. Lord, speak to
Lord,
me.
Speak to me. Lord, minister to me this morning, Lord.
Lord, speak to me.
Yes, yes.
Lord, speak to me. Master, speak to me.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes.
Lord, speak to me.
Lord,
speak to me. Pray.
Speak to me, Lord. Pray. My God. Marco Shevenenia.
Pray.
Limo Sivano Koparadia.
Shekete
Rediko Sevania. Marco Shedebe Renina Nomo Kovaria. Shekete Lebredeko.
Pray.
Mikato Zabada. Rina Nimo Shevenenia Katayaba. Radiko Shedebe.
Please pray.
Hey, Kaloma Shenama. Ike Telebredegedo. Likatu Paradia. Lima Soko Paradia. Speak to me, Lord.
Father, yes. We thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are very grateful.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I'm giving you 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Lift your hands again and ask.
Kalama.
Tell the Lord to speak to you.
Yes, yes.
Tell the Lord
yes.
To speak to you.
Likatu.
Speak to me. Speak, say Lord. Something to me today.
Yes. Yes.
Speak to me.
Yes, Lord. Speak to me. I need a word. A word, Lord. A word
speak
customized
to me.
Yes. Kalova Nemo. Sheketelevrenima. Lima
so paradia
kadusa. Rindalos katala. Badoko shekete. And telebrekete.
And mean what you are praying.
Lima suvanima. Levenonimo koparadia.
Speak to me, Lord.
Ma, yes, yes.
With your hands lifted.
My God.
Speak
yes.
To me.
Holy hands, Lord. Mako shana maya. Radike semeno fenonina.
And I know my life
yes. Kalomo.
Will never.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
Ever.
My God.
Ever.
Yes, Lord.
I know.
My God. Yes.
My life.
My life.
Will never.
I will never.
Be.
Paluma sukata.
The same.
Yes, yes.
Again. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Can you clap your hands?
Yes.
It's a sign.
Yes.
That you are happy.
Yes.
You are excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
You are happy to be.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Clap your hands.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
And you may please be seated. Please raise your hand if you were not in church last week Sunday and you were also not at Mampong for a reason. Maybe you're not well. Your sister's child was not well. Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, can you stand to your feet? I just want to see. I'm a pastor, so I need to know the church I'm preaching to. All right. Just a few of you. Please be seated. Last week, I preached a message your pastor, Bishop Kobe, preached in the service, the Saturday service, his present service. And I felt so blessed that I felt I should share that same message with you. So I began. Am I to use this? Okay. This also sounded nice. Very nice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for
an opportunity to hear the word of God. Now, if you are a Christian, then I want to tell you something. You need to really value the one who teaches you the word of God. You need to honor that person. Because that person completes your relationship with God. Are you aware that to relate with certain important people, you need to have good relationships with other people to be able to relate with certain important people? In fact, you will relate well with them to the degree that you are able to relate with the other people. They will not even be very important, but you need them to relate with that big man in the office on the 8th floor. In the same way, to relate with God, you need to have a very, 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 very good relationship with your teacher. Your teacher. You know, there are fivefold ministries: pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. Teaching is one of the fivefold ministries. And so when you don't relate well with your teacher, what you don't know is that even your relationship with the Bible will be very, 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 very poor. You read the Bible, but you will not understand what you are reading. So a teacher who teaches you every Sunday, like in this church, we have Bishop Kobe teaching us every Sunday. That's a very important person. And you must love your teacher. When we were young boys, I lived in Takrade. There, I saw cars belonging to teachers. And they had a particular sticker on those cars. And the sticker read, "If you can read this, thank a teacher." Because are you aware that somebody can see the same thing and doesn't know whether it's Japanese or Greek? But if you can read this, thank a teacher. Period. So I want you to love teachers of God's word, like your pastor. And the Bible says, esteem them very highly for the work's sake. You can actually tell how spiritual a person is by that person's relationship with his or her teacher. I'm telling you, like as you were coming to church, there should have been money in an envelope in your hand, in your bag, specially prepared for anyone who will teach you the word of God today. Yes. Not just an offering. In the offering bag. Like your teacher's birthday. I mean, that is something. You go to town. Like my teacher's birthday. Oh, no. It's a town affair. It's a town affair. I began to prepare for my teacher's birthday in December. birthday that was in May. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. He may not speak good English. He may not have nice clothes. But the work he is doing. You know, the work a person does really says a lot about the person. I mean, this is the second time I'm seeing this. This is the second time I'm seeing something related to a person's work. That he's too slim or he's too fat. But for the work he's doing sake, you must honor the person. This is the second time. The first time I saw this type of for the work's sake, Christ was saying that even if you don't believe in me, believe me for the work's sake. So you need to look at the work a person is doing. And allow what the person is not handsome. It's not any gay person. In case you don't believe the person, believe for the work's sake. You see how I am even preaching? Is it not nice preaching? Yeah. But somebody is sitting by the computer. He can't even find a verse. So you see that people work differently. So when you see somebody working well, you must value the person. I'm preaching already. Don't have a bad relationship with your teacher. Relate well with your teacher. Some of you, your relationship with your teacher changes when you are angry. When you are offended. Because a teacher by his teaching will say something you don't like. And it's God doing it. You must not allow anything to change your teacher. It's value in your eyes. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, you are afflicted in the church service. Like today, you will afflict you. Yes. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Anymore means that it's a behavior you have. But don't do that anymore. It's not good for you to break your relationship with your teacher. But thine eyes shall see thy Jesus Christ. I said, thine eyes shall see thy Jesus Christ. Thine eyes shall see thy Jehovah Jireh. No. No. What's your relationship with your teachers? Why? Why should you be constantly looking at your teachers? The next verse. 30, 21. Because when your eyes see him, the next thing is that your ears will hear a word. Many of you are looking for a word. But that word you are looking for concerning your marriage, your business, your ministry, your education, your life, that word, it's not coming from Jesus. It comes from your teachers. He says, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Today, for instance, I'm going to point to a place and say, this is the way. Walk in it. when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. That is, where you turn doesn't matter. Somebody has to show you what was on your mind to do. Doesn't matter. God sent you someone who says that, get away with your left hand and right hand. This is the way. Walk in it. Because the place you should go, the place where your blessings are, is the place you don't want to go. And you need a teacher who holds your hand, John 21, and leads you to a place where you do not want to go. I'm privileged to preach God's word to you this morning. It's a privilege for me. And I'm continuing from, and I'm preaching from Many Are Called, this book, beautiful book. And the title is The Appointed Times of Your Spiritual Life. That is, your spiritual life has got certain milestones. Times. And if you miss the time, it's over for you. Say times. Life is just, you know, life can be described as just seasons and times. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. That's life. That's it. To everything, there is a season and a time. A season and a time. Everything has its time. And a time to every purpose. Even though it's a good purpose, there's a time. That is why your work as a Christian is to understand the times. And a time to every purpose. Let's pleasure our eyes. Verse 2. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which has been planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. Receive understanding of the times of your life, your marriage, your business, your children. Times. Once you miss the time, you've missed it. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Sanunama. That's why we attend conventions. One of the major reasons for conventions and times of impartations and the charging of your life by the power of God is that if you don't expose yourself to such times, the devil will let you weep longer than. See, weeping endures for a night. So once there's morning, joy must come. Yeah. And many of you, you overweep. A lot of you young girls sitting here, you're not even 22. You are weeping too much. Because you've not met the power of God to break that cycle. That's why we expose ourselves to the power of God. If you don't do that, you prolong your mourning. You prolong your weeping. Give me back Ecclesiastes. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather. It's like, life is difficult too. I mean, how do you know when to cast away stones? How do you know when to gather stones? There is hardly anything in the Bible that is true all the time. hardly will you find. You'll find one or two of them. A lot of things are right or wrong only because of the time you are doing it. But the thing itself is not wrong. Like I asked a pastor, this pastor, is it right for your daughter to have sex? And his answer was intelligent. So it depends on the time. That's true. That's true. That's true. The time you are doing it. A time to embrace. And a time to stop. Refrain is a move away from the person. Do embrace. If you don't know, and you embrace when you should not be embracing. If you don't know, and you don't embrace when you should be embracing. So a lot of our problems is not about whether it's something you are doing is right or wrong. It's the time. And we don't take time to know the time. Last week I began to teach you, number one is the time of your birth. I said some profound things that time will not allow me to repeat. If you are interested, go and find the message. If you are not interested, rubbish it and it's up to your life. Live your life. I'm also in my house living my life. Number two, the time of your death. And there are types of death before the eventual death. All of us, you die before your time. Before your time to die, you die. You can't do everything you are doing for forever. Your assignment, Job 7:1 says that our days are like the days of an hired hand. Let me not say it. I was going to say something. So a pastor should be careful what he says. Because you see, prophesying is not just saying hidden things about a person to the person. Like last night, you were crying in your room. And God says that, weep no more. That's a prophecy. Or tomorrow, somebody wearing a yellow shirt will bring you a box. Don't open it. That's a prophecy. It's that tomorrow, 12:45, somebody comes in a yellow shirt with a box. But a pastor prepared you. Don't open the box. That's one type of prophecy where I can look at you and mention your bank account. It's a type. Foretelling. But the wilder prophecy is just the speaking of words. That's why we come to church. For someone to speak words. That's prophecy. When Ezekiel saw that vision in Ezekiel 7:17, that valley of dry bones, the instruction God gave him was, prophesy to these bones. Speak to the bones. Prophesy to the bones. Then later, down there, he said, prophesy to the wind. The wind. Because winds are blowing. Some of you are going to be blown into somebody's bed soon. So a pastor can prophesy against the wind. Prophesy to the wind. 37, verse 9. That's prophecy. When a pastor is preaching under inspiration, he's prophesying. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy and say to the wind. Oh, wind, you are going to go northeast in 10 minutes time. Wind, I can see that you are going to change direction. No. Tell the wind what it should do. I can speak into your life and say that you will marry. That's a prophecy to you. You will marry. It's not that I've seen marriage or a wedding, but I am fighting the devils in your family that are trying to prevent your wedding from happening. You will marry. You will see your great grandchildren. I can point to you and say, you will see. You will see your great grandchildren. That way, meanwhile, she's to die next 2 years. Next 2 years, she's supposed to die. But the word I've spoken has canceled the sickness, canceled the event, canceled the thing. That's a prophecy. We have not seen anything in particular, but we speak the mind of God. A time of your death. Find the message. Today, I've been told I've got only 15 minutes more. The next. So, what is the first appointed time of your life? Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor. What's the first one? Tell the person, do you know why the time of your birth is important? If you don't know, humble yourself and listen to the pastor's preaching on the podcast. Because you look like somebody who was not in church last Sunday. You didn't even stand up. Point number two is hot. It's hot. The time of your death. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you understand why it's an appointment? You've got to be ready, baby. Tell the person, you've got to be ready, baby. Got to be ready. Mazuna maha. Mazuna maha. Mazanuna mayadiba zumayanda bazabanda gadibosa. Number three. Maybe because the time is up, I'll just do just this little and we go. I should prophesy to the time. Be still, time. The time, the third appointment you have. Which, if it doesn't happen, the rest of your life will be on hold. Many people here who are 52, their lives are on hold, waiting for this third one. Wow. Yes. Waiting. 45 years, 58, 52. Because life is in, there's an order. It's called the time of your salvation. Beautiful. come here. I'm coming. I like this material. It's very nice. Beautiful material. Nice. Very nice. There is a time you should be saved. Today, I won't preach about the fourth point. Today's message, for the 15 minutes left, I am going to engage you about your salvation. There is a time you must be saved. A lot of us here are not saved. One of the blockers of salvation is the church. Second Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Let's do it. 15 minutes. It's enough. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold. Now. In case you are wondering when. Today. By the time I finish preaching, you must decide today to be born again, to be saved. Behold, mommy, when it comes to salvation, there's nothing like tomorrow. Salvation is today. It's today. Like we ask you, when do you think your heart should beat? Will you say tomorrow? Lori, when would you like your heart to beat?
Always.
Mr. Afro, when should your heart beat? Kata, kata, kapapa. Angels of God, Holy Spirit, angels of salvation, move. Move. Angels, I'm sending you. You are my servants. Go and touch their hearts. Touch their hearts. Touch their hearts. What is salvation? What is salvation? What is salvation? Salvation is being born again. Salvation is being new. Today, I'm talking salvation. If you are watching me, I'm talking to you about salvation. I'm going to tell you something that will shock you. To be saved is not a simple thing. But there's one thing. just like somebody with yellow eyes, jaundice. Once you see somebody who has jaundice, you are looking at a problem of the hepatobiliary system, or erythropoietic system. Certain things that are causing it's overwhelming the liver. The liver's ability to metabolize. The bilirubin and all the different chemicals. The liver has been overwhelmed. Either by disease or by too much of the substance to work upon. And the rest will give you the jaundiced eye. Yellow. It's not anointing. It's yellow. Many of you have passed your time of salvation. But thank God that in verse 2, even if it has passed, it can happen today. From today onwards, you'll be properly saved. Church hasn't helped a lot of Christians. What does it mean to be born again? Because everybody must be born again. It's to receive Jesus Christ in your heart. Confess Him as your Lord. I'm preaching. Confess Him as your Lord. Not just your Savior. Not just your Savior. But also your Curious, your Lord. Your Lord. Your Lord. The master of your life. He says, sit down, you sit. He says, go, and you go. That's a Lord. The Lord of the manor. He calls for a meeting. You drop what you are doing. Many of you can decide whether to come to church or not to come to church. Today you are here because you feel like coming. And all these things, I'm ending now. When you get Jesus, you confess Him as your Lord, it leads to the most important set of scriptures about salvation. It's a series of scriptures, about 3 or 4 verses, that are arranged one after the other, and they are together. But most of the time, we take only one. So it makes our understanding of salvation very, very incomplete. When you receive Jesus, you confess Him as your Lord. You believe in your heart. That's why we are called believers. It leads to that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, it leads to salvation. Now, salvation can never be said to have taken place until you are changed. I'm feeling the presence of God. Changed. If you say you are saved, you are not changed, it's not true. That's why I am ending with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, his name. A new creature. A lot of people on their way to Christ, they met a church and they stopped in the church. Many of you have stopped in the church. You're not born again. Many people on their way to Christ, they met a pastor and they stopped there. I've been with people. It's in retrospect that I understood that as they were with me, they were not born again. A pastor is a blocker. A pastor who should have been a facilitator of your salvation is actually a blocker of your salvation. Most people have not gone beyond their pastor. They have his number. They text him. He texts back. He calls them. He eats with them. They chat. Most Christians have not gone beyond their pastor. Many of you here have not gone. You are watching me. You are yet to meet Jesus. That's worse when a church makes you a lady pastor. When a church makes you a bishop. When a church makes you a shepherd. Then the death knell has been sounded over your life. No salvation. Now, I'm showing you, number one is that if any man be in Christ, there's nothing like if any man be in church. The church you are in, this church is not responsible for your salvation. Actually, a lot of the pastors, am I allowed to preach? A lot of the pastors and shepherds and bacenta leaders are taking masses of people to hell. Regional heads. You see, today I'm preaching about salvation. Salvation is not something that happens in church. A church building is not a place we come to be born again. Once a while, people who are not born again, they come to the church, a drunkard, an unbeliever. Once a while, like us, I'm sure there's somebody who just walked into church. He saw a signboard. That's why it's very important that every time a pastor preaches, he has to, your friend is saying, no, make an altar call. It's constant. Because there will be elements in the church God has brought to be saved. Apart from that, anybody holds a person's hand and brings him to church. For the person to come and sit in the church to be saved has destroyed the soul of the person. When you are bringing someone to church, your responsibility is to save the person outside. Salvation happens outside the church. The kind of atmosphere we need in the house of God is not a place unbelievers should be sitting here. It's not a place for people who are into hip life, who don't read their Bibles. The kind of atmosphere we need in the church, it's not an atmosphere for wicked unbelievers. But there will be one or two in the service once a while. You are bringing someone to church. You want the person to be a member. But you've forgotten that Peter said that we are lively stones. First Peter 2. Ye also, can I have another translation? New King James or something. We are stones. New King James. In the beginning was the word. I'll get you one day. It's not your time today. Okay, we are there. You also. As what? Living what? Stones. When you bring someone to church, you are bringing a stone. And the stone you are bringing will be, say, will be. Will be used to build the church. 40 years ago, a girl took me to church. I was used to build the church. Are you not aware you are a part of the church? Yeah. You are a stone in the church. I'm preaching salvation now. And the stones you bring, are not worked on in the church. I've taught you before. Yes. I've taught you from 1 Kings. It's just 6 verse 7. I've taught you. And the house, when it was built, in the building, was built of stone ready before it was brought down. Can I have New Living Translation? New Living Translation. The stones used in the construction of the temple were finished at the quarry. The temple site is not a place where the stones are worked, so that there was no sound of hammer, axe, or any other iron tool at the building site. So when you are bringing someone, it is offensive to just carry an unbeliever and put a person in church. It offends God. Because the church place is a place of peace. Yes, we are going to fight outside. We are going to wage war outside. But the church place is a place where we must have peace to strengthen ourselves. The church is not a place for noise. He's taking my beloved. She's sleeping with my husband. He has done this. He has borrowed my something. We are doing business together because the church is full of unbelievers. And it's full of unbelievers because the people who brought them to church did not work on them. You don't bring a soul for the pastor. I'm not the one who should use my preaching to get somebody born again. As you are bringing the person, you start. You use your hammer and the tools to cut, to check, and shape the person. So you come to church with cuboids and cubes. Not boulders. Not what? Boulders. We're not building roads. We are building a church. And the temple site is a place of peace and quiet. So we can concentrate on God. But we bring people who are not saved. Salvation doesn't take place when a pastor is preaching. Like as I'm preaching, you are sitting there, you are not born again, and you are saved. That's not salvation. Salvation has always taken place outside the temple. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 7. King James. Thus said the Lord of hosts. Who is speaking here? The Lord. I, God, even God, he said, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will save them. Verse 8. And then, after saving them, I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people. So you don't bring unsaved people into Jerusalem. You save them in their east country. You save them in their west country. I will save them there. And then I will bring them. Passing people to church doesn't mean you are serving God. One of our pastors, I can't see him, I think he's in a branch. When he was in Legon, he was busing people to Kumasi Sports Stadium. Sunday dawn, he organizes VIP, that was his work on campus, to watch football. Putting people on a bus doesn't mean you are serving God. So that the church, look at you. Many of you in your heart, you are cursing the people. Are you aware that people, children grow up and curse their parents? Yes. You are the reason why I'm like this. When I was young and I said I wanted to go to the party, you should have handcuffed me. I blame you for my state, and it's true. A lot of parents are bad parents, but we have to honor them. We have to honor them. Good or bad, you honor your father. Many of us in here, your father is a useless father. Useless. He has only majored in the unimportant things of paying your school fees. But he's not ensuring your salvation by his life. By his life. What he doesn't know is that it's not enough to go to school. In fact, some people shouldn't have gone to school. But what do we do? You should insult them. Honor. Many of you shepherds are responsible for the type of Christians who come to church without a Bible, sit at the back on their phones doing Facebook. Some sit at the back watching Facebook videos and reels. At the back doing business in town when the word of God is being preached. Because 20 years ago, the person who was the person who carried him to the church did not use the sword of the word of God to shape the person. Many of you were logoed into the church as boulders, and this is also where we do the work. I'm telling you, some of you pastors, the people you brought to church 10 years ago, they are cursing you. So those of you who have ever done New Believer School, they are cursing you. You know why New Believer School is a dangerous place? It's a very bad place. It's a very bad place. It's not good at all. New Believer School. It is better. It's not done. Is that a what? Don't do it. Let the person smoke his weed. 30 years ago, I didn't even understand what I was saying. I was standing in Matayako and telling my church members to leave the church and go and smoke weed. I was telling them, go to your boyfriend. I was telling them, go to your boyfriend. I didn't know what I was saying. I said, some of you should leave the church and start fornicating now, because it's better you meet the power of God when you are fornicating, because then you will know your true state. Yes. That I am a fornicant. Than to be in the church. You see, New Believer School, what it does is that it immunizes Christians against God. You guys are making me preach a message I didn't prepare to preach. If a soul, but certainly the chorister, you win a soul, it would have been better that you had asked the person to pray to Buddha. Once you let a person pray to Jesus and you leave the person, you've destroyed the person. Why? Because you have introduced Jesus to a person, but not enough to change the person. That's how we have tetanus vaccine, COVID vaccine, anti-snake. Anti-snake, snake, if a snake bites you, you are dead. So we rush you to the hospital and they give you a chemical. Is full of things that fight snakes' bites. How do they get that chemical to inject you? Where do they get it from? They get it from you and I. How do they get it from you and I? They introduce a little amount of the snake's poison. Enough not to kill you. Enough not to make you sick, but enough to let your body begin to fight it. Now, when your body starts fighting that COVID, tetanus, whatever, it produces some chemicals. I think I must stop this message. Shall we rise to our feet? Mary, and I'm lead us in worship. Where's my iPad? can we, let's end. Next week we'll come back. I don't think it's a good message to be preaching on it.
You're blessing us, God. You're blessing us. We love it.
As you continue?
Fully.
As you preach?
Preach it.
When you bring someone a little amount of COVID, that's why most of us, there's COVID in Ghana. But we are not dying. Because we've taken vaccines. When COVID struck years ago, we didn't have vaccines. Our bodies were not protected. But now we have them. What is a vaccine? It is a chemical a human body produces. You just have to introduce just a little, not to kill the person, to enough to let the person's body produce. That is why children, babies, there are many babies who don't receive vaccines or are not immunized. There is something we call immunization by default. When a baby is born, the body is fresh. Anything can kill it. But as the baby is there, is playing with a toy, and then the toy falls down, and it takes the toy and puts it in the mouth. Don't take the toy and go and wash it. Allow. Because when it takes it in there, it takes in a little germ. A little. Not enough to kill it. That germ now builds the baby's immunity. So we call it immunization by default. By just living, falling, rising, the baby is crawling and will sit down and put the hand inside the mouth. Oh, they are all germs. It is immunizing itself. But it's not dying. It's protecting itself. You see how you are clapping? When we bring it to church, it's not a sad, it's a sad story which doesn't require a hand clap. When somebody gets born again, not here, the prayer we pray here is nothing. It's nothing. Do you know salvation? Do you know how we have fought for 40 years to be saved? If it's a prayer that saves a person, then we have wasted our time. Because we prayed it long ago. The person who takes care of that soul must even explain. Many of them, 90% of them, pray the prayer. They don't even understand what they are saying. So when you take her there, new convert, follow me. And then you go and leave the person. What have you done? You have given the person a little Jesus, but not enough to make the person a properly born again Christian. So she thinks she's saved, but she's not saved. She's still sleeping with somebody's husband. She's stealing money from the office. She's in the choir. The last rehearsal, as the choir, the music director was in front teaching, she was sitting on the stage with her legs open because she has meant the choir leader. She wants his sperms to get pregnant. And that's what you've done. You sit people down for 7 minutes, teach them about fellowship. Teach them about baptism and send them home. You think that little thing they have received is what will them understand baptism? You are a joker and a wicked person. All we've done is that we've introduced. So the next time they meet Jesus, they have got antibodies. You see, many of you, if Jesus kills, he can never kill you because you have resistance based on the little amount of Jesus you have received over the years, enough to have resistance, but not enough to change you. You are not changed. I said you are not changed, but you have Jesus. The same way I've not died, but I have COVID, which can kill. If Jesus kills, most of you will not die. Because you've built resistance. You've built antibodies. Because the people who brought you, they just brought you and introduced you to a little of Jesus to harden you up. Do you know? How to tell if a person is born again? Do you want to know? A sign of being born again. Can I tell you? Sit down. Fasten your seatbelt. Fasten your seatbelt. How do you know a person is changed? Baby girl, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Watch it. I'm beating somebody. Hurry up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now at this time, I'm ending, so I don't need anyone to stand. Listen to me carefully. Breathe in, out. Are you listening? If any man is in Christ, today, for the first time, I'm going to reveal to you one sign. If you don't find it in a person, it means the person is not born again. If any man be in Christ, he is new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, what is the sign that the person is born again? Is it stopping smoking? No. People who are not born again and are just sensible will stop smoking. Is it breaking up with that married man you are chasing? No. Breaking up with somebody's husband does not mean you are born again. Because people who are not born again break up for different reasons. One of them is that the wife is coming for you. I shouldn't preach. I pay talk. Stopping drinking alcohol does not mean you are born again. All you need is to know that the alcohol is spoiling your liver. Stopping drinking, stopping smoking, stopping fornicating doesn't mean you are born again. Ash, is it stopping listening to Hip Life, Comfort Quade, Reggie Rockstone, Sarkodie, the sax man, Patapa? I'm preaching a message. You are listening to Patapa. Now you don't listen to him. You should listen to Miss V. Now you don't listen to Miss V. Stopping listening to unbeliever music doesn't mean you are born again. I've been fornicating with you. It's been 3 years now. We've been having sex. I feel that it's disturbing me emotionally. I've stopped. I'm going to marry. Doesn't mean I'm born again. But it's important when you are born again to stop doing what we have been doing for 3 years. If you truly get born again, you must stop smoking. A born again Christian has nothing to do with comfort quad 4x4. A born again Christian listens to Tego sisters. Now, so Mr. Bishop Man, if a sign that you are genuinely born again is not that you've stopped smoking, even though we should stop. It's not that you have stopped having sex. Even though stopping pornography doesn't mean you are born again. Pornography destroys your mind. You don't need Jesus to stop. You don't need Jesus to have sense that pornography is twisting your appetites. So, Mr. Bishop Man, now you are wasting our time. What is the sign?
Hey,
you stop wasting our time. We've got an appointment in town. You are wasting our time. Should I now tell you? Verse 18. These are scriptures that are together. But we take one. And I don't even know what we are saying with the one. Verse 18. He said, all things are of God. Who has reconciled, the new man has been reconciled. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. It that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to unto us the word. The word that has been committed to the church is not a word of prosperity. It's not a word of a good marriage. It's not a word of a good life now. It's not a word of your happy moments now. It is one word. It's a word of reconciliation. A sign that you are truly a new creature is that you've taken up the ministry of reconciliation. Winning souls one by one by one. Look, there's no way an unbeliever will win a soul to Christ. There is no way. Unbelievers don't preach Christ. They will stop smoking, but they won't preach Christ. She will break up with that girl, but not preach. When you see somebody, I want to ask you, when was the last time you reconciled? And the word is that is somebody who was reconciled means that we were not talking. And then the aunties in the church meet us. And let us apologize and hack ourselves. That's reconciliation. What is it? When was the last time you reconcile someone to Christ is to marry the person back to Jesus. Look out for this sign in you. If it is absent in your Christology, it means it is a spurious Christology. It is fake. It's not about dancing. Dance for Jesus. It's not about singing. Sing for Jesus. But one sign, when God saves you, you see, your newness is in that ministry he gives you. You meet an unbeliever and you pray with the person, teach the person, visit the person, tell this person. In fact, I'm almost saying that don't bring a person to a church you have not visited nothing less than 4 times. But I'm not making a law. Far from it. I'll be destroying the, I'll be twisting the gospel. That is, you can bring someone to church. He's not reconciled. As I'm preaching, there are people with earphones in their ears. They are listening to Hip Life. As I'm preaching, there are people with earphones. They are listening to some news. He's here. You have brought the person, but he's not reconciled. A pastor's work is not to reconcile the world. You, the anybody who has experienced reconciliation. That's why I'm, hello? Anybody who has been reconciled to God. Now, the question that this begs is that, have you been reconciled to God? Have you? Have you come back to God? There was a ministry, a single ministry in the 70s and 80s. Come back ministries. Come back. Have you come back? Are you really born again? If you are, then please, let us go to verse 18. Let's go. If you are truly reconciled, then you have been reconciled. You are part of those reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. And once you are reconciled, you are given a paper. You to go and reconcile. So when you are not reconciling, it means you don't have the paper. It means you are not reconciled. It means you are not born again. A sign that a person is born again is that the person is actively winning souls. I'll take it again. Give me your phones. Phone. The four of you come. You were four. Come. These are enemies of Christ. They were. And I called them. I am God. Wearing black. So, talk to you. Lift your hands. Say, I love you, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I love you. All right, so now, all of you stop that. You are dead, stop that. Cut the last one. So, can you start? Jesus is a good priest. Go to that presbyter. She's a very good church. Join the choir. And now God, you do not come back to God. Okay? Alright. So to show that you come back to God, I give you this. Anybody who doesn't have this has not come back to God. Because God always gives this to anybody he reconciles. Anybody who is reconciled, he gives this. What is this? It is the power to also go and bring somebody back. Go. Go. Yes? Go. Bring them. Now, you see the ease with which they did this? They did it because of what they are holding in your hands. Anybody who doesn't have this can't do this. So if I tell these three, you still have your own. Okay, all the four of you, go and bring another group here. Go. She can't go. She's just winking at somebody's husband and smiling. She can't. Do you know why she can't? Because she has not been given this. And if you If you don't see this in anybody's hand, it means that person is not being reconciled. Because a sign that you've been reconciled is that you have this. It's what gives you power to call others to Jesus. So today, I'm informing you. You are just a church member. You are just a pastor's friend. Based on what? The dress you are wearing. Your lipstick. Your glasses. Your scarf. Based on what? Based on the fact that you are not in the business of reconciling others to God. You are not doing it. It's a sign that you yourself have not been reconciled. That's why if you go down to verse 20, it says, now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who are ambassadors? The new creatures. The new creatures. The verse 17 new creatures are the ambassadors. If you've not experienced verse 17, you can't be an ambassador. You can't be a reconciler. I want to tell you today, the very fact that salvation of souls is not, I'm talking about a time of salvation. The time of your salvation. And today is the time. I'm telling you that you are only a singer in a choir. You are not born again. Look, there are people who don't need Jesus to do right things. They are very moral. They are moralists. They are those who become school prefects. They obey school rules, wear the right length of khaki shorts, are sitting in the dining room. His father is the minister of defense. He's in the dining room. And those whose parents are farmers don't go to the dining room because they feel they are rich. The son of the minister of defense is eating because he must obey. Obeying instructions doesn't mean you are born again. It just means that you were brought up by Presbyterian parents. What shows that you are born again is that you are in the ministry of reconciliation. You are an ambassador. So therefore, I'm asking you right now, what is your salvation history? What is your reconciliation? Show me the list of the people you have reconciled who were far but have been brought near, established, reconciled, married back to God, serving God. They were with me. The girl who brought me to church reconciled me. I left the nightclub at age 16. I was married to church through a girl. She visited me. She prayed with me. She held my hand and took me to a pastor who was into Christian music. I collected all the B.J. Thomases, the Andre Crouches. This is 30 years ago, please. 40 years ago. 40 years ago. The Imperials. I mean, then we grew up, we entered into the Maranathas, then the Hosannas. What are you talking about? She did her work on me. She just didn't logo me to church. I'm telling you today, you are likely to just be a chorister in church and not. Look, if salvation of souls does not come spontaneously in your heart, you are an unbeliever sitting in church. You are an unbeliever saying hallelujah. You are an unbeliever reading your Bible. You are an unbeliever saying shalabalabalabalaba. Unbelievers say shalabalabalaba. A sign that you have been reconciled to God properly is that you also are in the ministry of reconciliation. Today is the day you must take a decision to be properly born again. this is not the shepherd's meeting. He said, now therefore, we are ambassadors. So he began to beg. We are begging you, we pray, be reconciled. Ambassadors are those who go to people's lives and they represent heavenly agendas to the unbelievers. By the time they are done, they've won the person to the country they are representing. How many souls? How many souls have you reconciled? I'm asking you. You are sitting in church. You are not born again. You are not born again. You are just dancing. You are not born. A real born again Christian wins souls. Is that one and only. One and only. It is that work of winning souls that purifies you yourself. Imagine I'm sleeping with this girl and I am winning, leading this girl to Christ. I fast with her. I pray with her. I teach her to have a quiet time. Holy Ghost baptism. By the time I'm done with her, the energy to follow this girl has gone down. Many of you are happily into unbeliever music, but you are in church. Happily with unbeliever friends, but you are in church. There is not even the voice of the Holy Spirit is in you to tell you that something you've done is wrong. The way you spoke to your husband is wrong. The way you spoke to your wife is wrong. What you did to your friend is wrong. How you threw your hands at your mother is wrong. There is no Holy Ghost in you. You are not born again. Today, look at him, he's sleeping. And you think that because he's sitting in church, he has proposed to you, so you marry him. I saw an instrumentalist yesterday. I said, you are not born again. Last night, 12 midnight, we were standing here. I said, you are not saved. And I pity the girl who is following you to marry you. And she's in church. I pity the girl. My dear friend, today, I give you 5 seconds. Ask yourself, when was the last time you reconciled somebody to Jesus Christ? That is, the person was not in Christ, was an enemy of Christ. But through you, not your pastor, not your church, through you, the person is now in church. 5 seconds. Think of yourself. Close your eyes and back. Keep standing there. Stop the keyboard. Everybody, close your... Everybody, up there. 5 seconds. Ask God, when was the last time? When was the last time? Yes, I know you are doing security. I know you are doing video. But when was the last time? Can you point to anybody whose existence in the kingdom of God and establishment in church is traceable to your efforts? It's traceable to your efforts. When was the last time? I've told you, stopping smoking is not a sign. Stopping betting is not a sign. Singing for Jesus is not a sign. Playing drums is not a sign. There's only one sign that you are properly born again. And that is, you suddenly have something in you to join the army of reconcilers, the ambassadors for Christ. He said, we are. You join a group. That's the 2 Corinthians 5:17 new creature. We are. New creature. We are. New creature. We are ambassadors. That's a newness. New creatures. We are. New man. We are. You can never experience Jesus and be quiet. The fact that you are quiet means you've not met him. You've only met a bishop. You've only met a pastor. You've only met a church. You've only met a girl in church. You've only met a ministry. You've not met Jesus. One of the blockers of salvation is pastors and churches. They immunize us. Everybody lift your two hands. Sitting, standing. Lift your two hands. And ask the Lord. Everybody stand. Now you can go back. Everybody stand and lift your hands. I want you to pray. And as we pray,
help us, Lord.
If on the basis of this message you feel you are not properly born again, you are not born again, you've just been in church dancing, sick, you are not serious, you are not a reconciler, come to the front right now as we pray. Lift your hands. We want a new start, a new beginning. Come,
a new beginning.
Oh, come to the front. Yes, hurry up. Come and stand here and lift your two hands. God will save you.
Yes,
God will save you.
New beginning.
Playing keyboard is not a sign. Singing in the choir is not a sign. Ushering is not a sign. Doing video is not a sign. Playing bass guitar is not a sign. Singing in the church is not a sign. Dancing is not a sign. If you are here and you are not in the ministry of reconciliation, it doesn't even occur to you to win a soul. But I report to the front.
New beginnings. Makirivo shalaba. Zelevini mo kevene barushini manama. Lekadava sopra kadaba. Leveni makado shiveli manama kadose. Le manama. Mandelivo kalaba. Levele dosha. Lepeyani manama. New beginnings, oh God. Lekadaba.
The reconciled. Reconciled.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
I'll take it again.
Ah, take it again.
The reconciled. Reconcile. If you are not reconciling, you have not been reconciled. And it's just a matter of your dying day. When you see the demons coming for you, then you know that the pastor who preached was a prophet. Exodus 33, verse 31. That's when you will know. 32. That's when you will know. Lift your two hands.
Oh, Jesus. The ministry
everywhere.
Of reconciliation. Yes. Levada Baha.
Palakata.
Kidivo Shalaba.
Melinasa.
Renima Kadosha.
Rehasa.
The ministry.
I'm not laying my hands on anyone. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer.
Yes.
But before I pray with you, lift your hands and pray for yourself.
Oh,
ask the Lord today. Yes. I receive you.
I receive
you. Lord, come into my heart.
Lord, come into my life.
Lord, come into my life.
Today I receive
you. Adababa yadaba.
I receive you, Lord, today.
Shekrega go sabadaba.
Come into my life.
Ayala baba zata badaga baba yame.
Come into
my life. Baba. The reconciled, reconcile. The reconciled, reconcile.
Come into my life.
Who can you point to? That this person is in church because of me. This person is in the kingdom of God because of me. The new creatures are ambassadors.
Yes, yes.
It's your ambassadorial status that makes you a new person. Because that one reflects that things have really changed in your life. Lift your two hands and pray.
Oh, come into my life, oh God. Mandele be kalaba. Mandele bosha. I want to experience you, oh God. Come into my life. Change me, oh God. Leave out of us, anima.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh
God.
Upstairs there. About 80% of the people upstairs there are not even born again. But they are busily doing computer, looking for verses, switching, doing video, doing sound, running up and down. But ask them, when was the last time you witnessed to a soul? When was the last time? That's when you know that you are dealing with unbelievers. And it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You don't preach Jesus. Preaching Jesus is not for pastors or evangelists. Ambassadors for Christ are the new creatures.
Oh, yes.
You are not an ambassador, you are not a new creature.
You are the
pastor. You are the potter.
I am the clay.
Today, I'm not preaching about singing for Jesus, dancing for Jesus, ushering for Jesus. It's the time of your salvation. Your salvation.
This is why I pray.
Yes, now is the time of salvation.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God.
Make it ever true.
A new experience. A new experience. Yes.
Change my heart, oh God.
Everyone lift your hands, yes, and let's sing that song again. One, go.
Change my heart. Oh,
the words are on the screen.
Oh, okay.
We are starting again. Change the key. It's too high. One, go.
Change my heart. Oh.
Everyone singing. Everyone singing.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Lift your hands and sing again. Sing again.
Change my heart, oh God.
The words are on the screen. Everyone singing.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be like you.
May I be like you.
Sing it again.
Change my heart, oh God.
May I be like you.
May I be like you.
You are the potter, and I'm the clay. One, go.
You are the potter. I am the clay. This is why I pray. Change my heart, oh God.
Now lift your two hands, those in front. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Everyone. What is the message the pastor preached today? He said, anybody who is not in the ministry of reconciliation has not been reconciled. That's all. Lift your hands. Say after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Today.
Today.
I've heard your word.
I've heard your word.
I've heard the truth.
I've heard the truth.
The truth about my life.
The truth about my life.
I realize.
I realize.
I am not born again.
I am not born again.
No. I'm not serious.
I'm not serious.
If I were to die today.
If I were to die today.
I would not make it to heaven.
I would not make it to heaven.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Today.
Today.
And change my heart.
And change my heart.
To be properly saved.
To be properly saved.
I can't hear you. Say to be properly saved.
To be properly saved.
I declare.
I declare.
I
I am starting
this journey.
This journey
again.
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 Oh yes.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Have mercy on me, Lord.
Put your spirit within me.
Put your spirit within me.
From today.
From today.
I'll be a serious Christian.
I'll be a serious Christian.
I'll be a new creature.
I'll be a new creature.
And the evidence,
and the evidence
will be
that through prayer, through Bible study, through holiness,
through separation,
through purity,
through devotion,
I'll give myself
to this life.
Of saving other souls.
From today, there will be no time of my life.
I will not be working on someone.
To give his life to Christ.
Today,
I declare.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
I'm a reconciler.
Save me, Lord.
I declare
that today.
It's my time.
It's my day.
Of salvation.
Oh yes.
Today.
It's my day.
This is my time.
Of salvation.
As a Christian.
Until I am winning souls.
I will not be happy.
Merely singing.
Merely attending church.
Just being around.
Doesn't mean much.
Lord,
let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Change my heart.
Deliver me.
From evil.
From self-deception.
Oh yes, Lord.
As I water others.
I'll be watered myself.
As I cleanse others,
I will be cleansed myself.
Today,
I take up
the ministry
of reconciliation.
As an ambassador
for Christ.
Thank you, Lord,
for my salvation.
Thank you, Jesus,
for this great work.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Go back and take your seat.
Everyone, lift your two hands. Stand to your feet and lift your hands. Say, Father.
Father.
From today.
I will bear fruit.
I'll bear fruit.
I'll be serious.
With my salvation.
I thank you.
For many chances
you give me.
I'll save you.
I'll live for you.
I'll do your will.
In Jesus' name.
Take your communion. Can I have the communion?
Take the communion.
Yes. We are eating to remember our salvation.
That to be saved, to be new,
you cannot say it is happening until there's evidence of reconciliation in your life.
Lift your bread.
The Bible says Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body
that was broken for you.
Do this, eat it in remembrance of me."
When you remember how you were saved,
you would jump into any river to save someone.
Lift your bread.
Say, "I'm born again.
I remember the body.
It was broken for me.
I will also be broken for someone."
Say, "From today,
somebody
will be in Christ.
Not just in church,
will be in Christ
because of me.
I am a savior.
I am a savior
of men."
Say, "I am a savior.
This body,
as I eat it,
it makes me
a serious Christian
because it represents
Jesus Christ,
the body of Christ.
Let's eat it.
Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Lift your cup.
That's it. What you are holding is called the blood of Jesus. And the question is, when will someone also benefit from your blood? We didn't come here to just be drinking blood. We drink the blood so that we can also be prepared to also shed our blood for someone. The blood of Jesus. For the reconciliation of men. For the reconciliation of men. For the reconciliation of men. Let's drink it. Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands.
Yes, Lord.
I now pray for you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That you will no longer be deceived.
Amen.
Receive light.
I receive it.
Receive light.
I receive it.
Receive the truth.
I receive it.
Receive wisdom.
I receive it.
From today, may you have the ability to look at yourself and assess yourself.
Oh, yes.
Receive it.
I receive it.
Receive it.
I receive it.
I pray that this body, this church,
Jesus,
will be true ambassadors, reconciling other men to Jesus.
Yes.
If that is not in our lives, then we've missed the point. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Keep clapping your hands. The time of your salvation. You know that the time has come when you are also saving others. That's when you know you are saved. Not when you are wearing yellow and black. Never. It has never been. Never. It's never been. Keep clapping your hands. Holding a camera in your hand and taking pictures. The day will come. For now, take me to be a madman. Insult me. Insult me. You will not be the first to insult me. I've been insulted all my life. The day you are facing judgment, the day you are heading towards the gates, you remember that a prophet spoke to you and warned you that this type of Christian life is not what God meant it to be. Jesus said, but from the beginning, it was not so. That's not how it was. Keep clapping your hands. He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, change it. But from the beginning, it was not like that. Keep clapping.
Jesus. What a blessing. What a way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Father, we thank you. We thank you. The time of your salvation. You may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.